G.I. Joe Sigma 6, code name for a highly trained special mission force. Its objective, stop Cobra, stop Cobra.
Sigma 6, be a hero.
G.I. Joe will turn the tide.
Be a hero.
Sigma 6 is on your side.
Be a hero.
Be the best of the best.
Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe is there.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, Living Life Large and Also in Charge. This is another episode of G.I. Joe Sigma 6, and this is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am merely, humbly, gratefully, Ray Stakanis.
Is this 1988? Because I do not recall living either large or in charge since that halcyon dime.
I remember living Charles in Charge.
You really want to go back to a time when someone has charge of your days and nights?
Yeah. He's also responsible for my wrongs and my rights, so I can never be arrested.
I feel like every time you're in a relationship, those are exactly the things you complain about. So I call bullshit on this.
Oh boy, that tracks. Yeah. Sorry,
that's
Gina.
It's a good point.
This maybe started out as a Ray and Chan versus Gina episode, and those are always weird.
We'll see. We'll see how long that lasts.
Are you guys going to introduce yourselves?
No.
Well, that's Robert Chan exclamation point Clark.
No one's going to get that bit.
I don't care. It's for me and Mike. Mike, I know you get that bit because you also commented on it. And it's just for me and you, brother. Here we are.
Yeah. Y'all should get out to the Open Fist Theater if you're in Los Angeles more often. And then you'll know. You'll know the bit.
You'll know all the things. And the other person is TV's Gina Ippolito.
Yay.
There we go. Gina, how is the strike going?
You want a soundboard so that you can do that audience clap thing?
No, actually, I was thinking, do you want a soundboard, Gina, so you could pretend to be on the episode and we would just play clips of you and no one would know the difference?
I mean, listen, that would be great. That would be great if it just said things like, I know you guys are going to disagree, but I really like this. Or I know you guys are going to disagree, but I really disliked this. Just insert that every 3 minutes.
I'm trying to think of other popular Gina-isms. You'd be like, I'm hungry, or Ray, I actually said that.
Yeah,
both of those,
yeah.
I think, track for the soundboard.
Yeah, or people on Twitter agree with me.
Okay, yeah.
People on Twitter are angry that you guys bully me so often.
Seven different exasperated sighs. people at home, I want to know, if we were to make a Gina soundboard of popular Gina-isms from the show, what would you like it to say? Hashtag Gina soundboard.
Hashtag Gina soundboard.
So anyway, we're talking about G.I. Joe Sigma 6, episode 11 of 13 from this season.
Why are we doing so much G.I. Joe?
No, because y'all want to do holiday stuff.
We've talked about this. Yeah, thank you, Gina. We just did something else, Chan. We did a delightful 2 Superman block that eventually will come out as we record this.
Yeah. More not G.I. Joe, please.
Well, you're going to get like 3 months.
You got to get through it, man. Yeah. You got to take your medicine.
Thank you. Take your Benadryl so you can get some sleep.
Is that how you're putting your kid to sleep these days?
Well, when I was a kid, it was NyQuil.
Right.
Now Benadryl's a lot safer for children. and the generation before me, it was Jack Daniels on the gums. So, you know, we are baby steps, as you like to say.
How about, why don't we just give the kids the blackout game and
the blackout game.
Am I the only one that knows about this?
Yeah, when you when someone at a sleepover makes you black out.
Yeah, you like
yeah, everyone knows
get
about
behind
that.
Them and like yeah. and like squeeze their chest until they pass out.
Yeah, what? Everyone knows about that except for kids who didn't have friends when they were little.
I'm sorry. So you guys just put wrestling holds on each other until you literally lost consciousness?
Well, I guess we just found out who didn't have any friends when they were little.
Two things. One, that's the girls' version of boys giving each other friggin' pile drivers at sleepovers. And two, I learned about this in my late 30s, so no, I definitely did not have friends in high school.
No, wait, I'm sorry. This is you are just not making this up right now. I've never heard of this before.
Well, then I guess you're a loser.
No, did you ever do it, Gina? Is there firsthand knowledge, or is like
you heard that? Like, I had it done to me when I didn't know what was going on. I was at my friend Ricky's house for a slumber party, and her older brother was dating this like cool 17-year-old girl, and so we were like, you know, like doing cool like Ouija board, like all the usual slumber party stuff. And then she was like,
"How old were you?"
Maybe 12.
12 with a 17-year-old girl sort of leading things. Okay.
Well, you know, was like there to hang out with the older brother. And then I think we were
how old was this older brother? Like 26?
He was probably like 18 or 19, I think.
All right.
You know, the way the cool 17-year-old girls hang out at children's slumber parties and
she was there.
12-year-olds to black out.
She was there to have sex with the older brother. And then like came out at some point and we were like playing some other game like truth or dare or something, and then she was like, okay, I'll show you guys a game. And then she was like, who wants to go first? And I was like, I do. I don't know what but I want to go first. And then she was like, okay, put your hands up your chest. And then she came up behind me, and then like the next thing I knew, I was waking up and like two girls were crying.
I mean, okay, on the one hand, that is horrifying. On the other hand, like, because it didn't happen to me, it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was great. And then I was like, oh, wow. How does that work? Do it one more time so that I can, like, be cognizant, like, for research purposes. So she did it one more time. And I was like, huh, okay.
I am so grateful. I can honestly say, truthfully, I've never woken up to have two girls crying.
Yeah, right. I bet you've got two girls in your house right now crying.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Okay, look, here's the deal. You might be right. too real. Anyway, this episode of G.I. Joe Sigma 6, it's called Space. Again, there's a two-parter, Zeus Part 1 and Part 2 after this. So we're very, very close to the end of this season of Sigma 6 and on to fun, Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas. 3 months of seasonal material that makes Gina and Jan. what is happening?
The best time of the year. Best time of the year.
Everyone will be happy but me, because I don't like holiday specials.
Yes, you do. You love it. I've seen you make chili for every single holiday for the past 10 years. So clearly
make chili. Listen, Detroit Lions opening day is a holiday in this household. I don't know what to tell you. That's just a fact.
Any excuse you have to make chili and say it's a holiday, you take it. So you celebrate holidays in your own special boy way.
I feel like that's supposed to be insulting, but it's actually quite delightful. I don't know. That's probably the
and then
nicest
by the
thing
end
anyone
of the night,
said to
you
me today.
Leave the two girls in your house crying after you've eaten that much chili.
Yeah, I'm not in the house. You know, but Space. So we all, you know, it's so funny to me. I know the name of this episode is Space. And then the episode starts and then it's like, you know, orbit and like, you know, stars. And I, in my head, I wrote, oh, cool, space.
I will say that like only like a minute of this episode takes place in space, which was very disappointing.
Well, it was like Friday the 13th, part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Yes, only a segment takes place in actual Manhattan, only like one scene, but the whole thing is about getting to there.
Yeah, so but we're trying I wanted to get like, to space. I wanted like OG G.I. Joe space gribbles. What were those things?
Oh, the
space
the,
gribbles.
No, you're talking about the, oh my gosh, why, how in the world am I absolutely blanking on this right now? The Fatal Fury.
Fluffies. Yeah, you knew what I was talking about. I wanted them like on a space station, but instead this was just like, hey, we're going to rip off a thing from Marvel where we're collecting Infinity Stones. It's time for the Space Stone.
No, it's not. I disagree slightly in that we're not like Marvel collecting Infinity Stones. It would be like collecting Infinity Stones if we didn't know how many they were and none of them mattered.
Exactly. It's a worse version. Someone read the Marvel comics, the Infinity Stone Marvel run, and said like, hey, why don't we do this, but worse? What if Cobra wanted to get his hands on all those stones? And then they were like, what's our version of it? And it's like, oh, they are powerful for reasons, question mark. And then the network was like, great, can you make 12 episodes of this? That's what it was like.
I like that you just referred to Cobra in the single person. We got to get it out of his hands, that Cobra.
I like also- that you referred to it as the Infinity Stone series.
That's what everyone calls it.
As if there was not a series called The Infinity Gauntlet by Jim Starlin and the subsequent sequels.
Listen,
Infinity
we all
War
know
and-
what it is. Don't be a gatekeeper. By the way, very timely because aliens are in the news a lot.
This is crazy to me. Like, and none of it's real. That's the part that
kills
me.
Of course none of it is real. It's one crazy guy who does this like every 2 years. He's like, whoa, look at this. I found some beef jerky that resembles an alien. And then people are like, ah, crap. He released it online. So now we got to like confirm or deny it, or people will think it's like a conspiracy on our part. And then, but it's the same guy. It's the same guy doing the same aliens.
I was so annoyed because C-SPAN told me it's just like, and oh, I'm sorry, videos on YouTube about C-SPAN told me it was just like, ah, US admits proof of aliens and this is a big thing. And then I go and I watch it and it's the same like handful of whack job former pilots that always just, like you said, that always just show up and they're just like, I don't know, another guy told me he saw an alien. It's like, what are you talking, why is this a thing? Like, I assume what we were going to have like revealed documents and pictures. They were just gonna wheel in a UFO.
No,
and,
this like, time they had nothing. A body, and every headline I read was like alien, like man claims to have alien body, looks suspiciously like aliens do in our movies.
Yeah. Weird how that happens repeatedly. Yeah, you're talking about the thing in Mexico, which is the guy who from Peru who pulled out two quote unquote 1,000-year-old mummified alien bodies.
Yeah, which that same guy does every couple of years.
And this mofo, they both look like miniature ETs. Like, that's so embarrassing. Like, come on, if we all want the alien thing to be real, but like, not like that. Like, stop playing with us. Stop being dumb about it. Like, either put up or shut up. You know, I don't personally believe that we have actually made contact with actual aliens in any meaningful, actual way. And that's fine. You can believe the opposite. I do not care. There's no proof, really, of anything that we've seen. And the human brain is a crazy, crazy thing and very open to suggestion, right? Like somebody once told me, Ray, I think you actually understood that first episode of Legion. And I believed them. So what I'm trying to say is just like either get the proof out there. Show me the indisputable proof. And not this whack, two mummified 1,000-year-old, like, and somebody put out a video like a couple days ago of like a naked guy and like a naked alien. Did you see this? And then for like a split second.
Hold on. That sounds like something on Pornhub.
No, okay, look, you look for it wherever you can find it, Chan. And I'll say it was like a black
the truth
and
is
white.
Out there.
Black it's on and white. YouTube. It looked like a trail video. You know what I'm saying? And it's sort of like this raises more questions that, and I started like raising like, okay, wait a minute, hold on. Oh, there's aspects of this that don't really track for me. And then before I could get like a second thought out, the immediate comment underneath it is like, oh, hi, I'm a VFX artist. I'm the one who made that. Here's my portfolio.
I don't seek these things out because I don't want any of these nut jobs. Like, I don't want all of a sudden Google to be like, oh, we see that you're dumb now. Would you like to hear about how many people assassinated JFK? No, I don't. I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about how the earth is flat. I don't want to hear about the moon landing. So I don't seek it out. In fact, the fact that we're talking about it now and my computer is listening to me means that if the next time I sign into TikTok, instead of the panda videos that I now get because I searched for a panda video to send to Chan, if I get some sort of like, hey, here's proof that the earth is flat, I am going to come to Ray's house and murder him.
I didn't even do it. What are you talking about?
You're the one on TikTok. I don't even own TikTok. Up the aliens. You're right.
I opened up the panda video and it said that it came from a state controlled website. So naturally, I kept watching it because, you know what? If that's what I got to do to get my panda fix, that's what I'm going to do.
I mean, it was a panda getting bottle fed and making little panda squeaks. I would say it's worth it.
Definitely worth it.
No, you're right. I mean, look, all TikTok is state-controlled media. What are you talking about?
That's a good point.
Like, TikTok is like one of the most aggressive apps for, spoiler alert, kids at home, TikTok is one of the most aggressive apps at like learning your data from everything else you do on your phone. Surprise. I do not have TikTok on my phone. I do not want TikTok on my phone. In fact, in the United States, the government phones, you know, official government business phones, are not allowed to have TikTok on them for that specific reason. So, you know, I'm just saying, I'm not a privacy honk, but like, there is a limit.
Ray, there is absolutely nothing that the state control, that the Chinese government could learn about you from like bug apps on your phone that they couldn't just learn by looking at you for 30 seconds.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
Oh yeah. I know what this guy's doing in his downtime.
See, I really thought you were going to say that they couldn't learn from listening to every episode of Knowing Is Half the Podcast. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, but that's worth it to me. They have to put in work for that. I get the numbers, you know, that's
they
great.
Don't, but they don't, because you're not a complex person.
Oh my, that hurts me, Robert Carr. I am very complicated. I am both untrustworthy and unreliable. You don't get that from nothing.
But you do. You do get that from nothing. Oh. That's sort of the point.
So this opening of G.I. Joe Sigma 6 Episode 11 Space is space. And after that, we have Cobra Commander talking with Zartan. They're doing Operation Blastoff because there's a Sigma Stone embedded in an asteroid that only... Okay, Chan, I need some science help here. This is an asteroid that only travels around Earth once every 20 years. Except this time it's going to burn up in orbit.
Like all science on Sigma 6, it's basically a fuck you to anything that vaguely resembles reality.
I see. So there's no scientific merit, because in my mind, if it comes by every 20 years, it will go away and come back in 20 years.
Yes. I mean,
which for all intents and purposes is okay for our story.
Why they would know that isn't clear. How they, you know, like why they didn't just pull the Sigma Stone earlier isn't clear. Why, like, sure, asteroids, I imagine, could have a 20 years is a real short time, and it would be a real weird orbit. So that seems real unlikely, but sure, let's say that that is the case. They do come closer and further away, so yeah, that could happen.
It's stuck okay. In the middle, though. It's like they need to send Bruce Willis with his crew out there to mine it and get it out of the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to have the conversation of it's easier to turn astronauts into miners than miners into astronauts? Because you can't bring up that movie anymore without somebody making that point.
Can we talk about how there are clowns to the left of me and jokers to the right? Here I am. Stuck in the middle with you.
Yeah, until you finish it, I'm not continuing. Okay, we're back to the long intros again. I don't understand why there's no rhyme or reason to why an episode has a long intro or the truncated intro. It's probably just how much stuff we're about to see, but it seems like there was a lot of stuff. I actually almost ran out of notepad space because I was writing so much stuff down in this episode, but here we are with the long version of the intro.
Really?
I had a lot to say. Or wow. I just wrote, I also wrote really big. That probably helped.
Did you use crayon? Because I feel like that might also have something to do with it.
Shut up. So we're at Cape Douglas. Cape Douglas would be like a Cape Canaveral sort of
more like Cape Douglas.
Whoa.
There were two S's on that Douglas.
An entire cape.
That is how it's spelled. So I'm going to stand by it.
That's fine. We learned a bunch of kids are on tour at this space station carnival thing. And the two of the kids break off from the group. Now, this is a very high tech facility. And it seems like security is exceptionally lax here in many ways, as we will soon discover. One of which is two children disappear from the group that is only being led by like one lady. And they sort of break off and just start like getting into other rooms in the top secret rooms in the building. And one of them sees Zartan in there. And he says, hey, I saw an alien in that room. And the lady comes back and try to shoo them away. And she's like, no. That's not, there's obviously no aliens in there. So you didn't see it. Let's get out of here. Now, why she wouldn't check, you know, who's in that room? I don't know. I'd probably just take a look. But then they look and there's nobody in there. And then Zartan, unforced, just appears from nowhere. And he says, hi, I'm Zartan. I am from outer space and I'm here to take over. And I'm like, he's not good at covert operations.
This is one of a couple of different times during this episode where I felt like there was a better script written and they cut it down and then cut out vital pieces of information. Because fair. If Cobra were to take over this whole thing, if they were to like knock out like every single guard and like replace them, you know, Cobra just like puts on a Fort Douglas uniform or whatever and then just goes and takes her place. And they wanted hostages so that they could, you know, like, keep the police from coming in or whatever, so they could finish their thing. All that makes total sense. Why like this would be the case.
Yeah, I like that point.
But, like probably it's too much, either it's too much exposition to fit in, you know, in a 22 minute episode, or the executives are like, well, you know, kids are too stupid. Cut this and just have them, you know, do the dumb thing.
Yeah. And the thing that I used to look, we cut to a robot dog right off the top and my brain didn't consider it even for a second. I'm like, yep. And there's a robot dog. And then they're like, oh, Scott from Hawk's Kid is here.
Wait, you did not remember the robot dog?
No, I remember the robot dog, but we haven't seen him in so long. I just, you know, I just wasn't even thinking about
it. You thought
it
was a different robot. The second I saw that robot dog, wait, don't they show Scott first or something?
Yeah, like, I recognize the white kid, please.
They show them. There's only been one kid on this show. No, how did you not realize?
I only recognize the scene. I only recognize the kid because of the dog. Because it's like when Princess Leia shows up in Star Wars, it's not like there's another girl in Star Wars. There is Princess Leia, period. There is only the dog, the one robot dog.
Boy, Ahsoka Tano must be super confusing for you, huh, Chan?
The fact that you listen...
How long?
Listen, this is the most on-brand Rey thing I've ever heard, where Rey was like, okay, so there was like six episodes where we saw a kid and a robot dog. But when this episode started, we saw a kid and a robot dog. And I was like, who are they? When is someone going to explain to me who that does they sound, are?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. And then finally someone was like, hey, you're Hawk's kid, remember from those six episodes? And Rey was like, I don't know what they're talking about. Six episodes of what? What show are we talking about? And then they're like, oh, yeah, like, remember, we gave you a thing to talk to G.I. Joe. And Rey was like, what's G.I. Joe? Where am I? How did I get here? Why is my butt sore? And then finally he figured it out.
Back up. I need to know why his butt was sore.
I mean, because either an alien came down and probed him, or he ate too much chili and his butt exploded and it couldn't handle it, or possibly Chan, both.
You see the social media. You know how much chili I've been eating over the last week.
But also, I've seen social media and I've seen how much alien talk there is, so I'm torn.
You know what? Okay. I hold that. Yeah. I'll be clear. It is the chili. I did not know. Look, there's a robot dog, and yes, my brain just went right through it. Then they cut to like a group of like nine kids, and I'm not thinking anything of it. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, that one of the nine kids is, aren't you Hawk's kid? And I'm like, oh, the robot dog. Okay.
Oh my God. That's
legitimate.
This, can you please listen? I need you to do me a favor. I don't know if either of you are an organ donor. I am an organ donor. It says it on my, but I need you to donate your brain to science just to see if you have CTE. I'm
Gina,
really
there's
curious.
There's no chance I don't have CTE.
I know, but I think you should still donate it just to be sure. I'll still be alive, obviously.
Obviously.
And I just want to be able to like watch from the little glass room that they let you watch the people taking out your brain and doing the CTE tests on. And then as soon as they say like, oh, not only does he have CTE, also he's like missing a portion, and also like like part of his brain is just cereal. I think it's like Count Chocula cereal in there.
I mean,
and then I can just finally be like, huh, all right.
And then you put on your finest suit for there was no more mystery left in the universe.
I mean, the fact that you spent 8 years with that, knowing full well what was going to happen at the end, that's a lot of that is on you. That's your fault.
I want to know for sure.
So Zartan is there, and all of a sudden Robot Dog goes to attack Zartan, jumps through the air, and spoiler alert, trigger warning, Gina Ippolito.
I hate
that
it.
Dog gets blasted.
Oh
my God. I have not seen such force on something. That dog gets annihilated by a laser blast.
They also add in some dog whimper noises, which is unnecessary.
Yeah, and I don't know, this isn't Overlord Vector, but it's like another similar robot, because doesn't Overlord Vector fly and this one has like treads?
Yeah, I don't know what this thing is. This looks like a fucking mecha suit that Ripley is wearing.
Yeah, Cobra thing.
I do appreciate the robot designs in this show.
They're kind of
cool. They look like crazy ass robots. It don't really make sense, but also they're so over the top that you're like, okay, yeah, it's like a crazy ass robot. It's not supposed to be, you know, supposed to look like a person or whatever. It's just,
yeah. No, I mean, I like it. It's all good. Cut back to G.I. Joe headquarters, and gosh, was it High Tech? Who's all of a sudden sees the Morse code coming in. And look, if you were alive at any point in the 1980s, you know, the SOS Morse code.
If you were alive, you know what SOS is.
It's fair.
And the fact that it takes them so long just grated on me.
It was really upsetting, because it's like the first thing you learn in military, right? Is like Morse code. And so, yeah, the fact that this is like appearing on the screen and all the Joes are just staring at it, like, could be anything.
And at multiple points during this episode, High Tech's like, I am the greatest hacker in the world.
Oh,
like,
my dude, God.
Dude.
To be fair, though, I'll be honest. High Tech is probably the most competent person on either side in this entire series. I'll say it. He made the Sigma suits. His hacking generally works. He's got a decent plan. He doesn't completely F up sideways all the time. If I was going to like give anybody like the gold star, it would be High Tech, but he is very self-congratulatory, and that is a turnoff. Let me tell you.
It's not great.
Not my favorite. So after about 10 and a half years, they figure out that SOS is coming from Scott on his G.I. Joe signal card that they gave him at the end of episode 5 of the miniseries. And Heavy Duty is already in that area. He goes, I was just at Camp Douglas, and I didn't see anything of note there. And they're like, go back, turn it around, let's go. So he walks in the front door, Heavy Duty does. And he's just like, hey, everybody, can I look around a little bit? I got to find those kids. I got to find that thing. And he foolishly lets the front door guy walk him into a room. He goes, oh, yeah, they're right in here. And I'm just like, uh-huh. I've seen too much G.I. Joe to believe this. And of course, the security guard ends up being Zartan, disguised as a security guard. And the room ends up being an empty room where he gets Heavy Duty gets blasted as well. He gets zapped with so much electricity that he just passes the F out, which is not healthy. And back at headquarters, they're tracking his bio data of his Sigma suit. And they're like, yo, he just took a loss, man. That is good.
We got to ask, did Cobra outfit that entire room to be a stun room just as soon as they got there? Like,
yeah.
Okay, here's the things we need to do to get a hold of this rocket. First thing we do, rebuild this entire lounge to incapacitate anybody who comes in here. Or second option, Fort Douglas has that already.
Yeah.
Like, that is a room that is just there for ?
Jane, I would argue this is one of those deleted scenes you were talking about. There was an actual Cobra architect years ago in the design of this building, didn't make it for time.
Oh, right, right. Okay. It's like Rogue One, where we find out that, oh yeah, the weakness of the Death Star was built in that way intentionally.
Spoiler alert.
I like it.
Yeah, to be fair, there's going to be an entire depressing two-hour movie about the poor Cobra architect who designed Camp Douglas.
Oh, I'd watch that.
Me too. Shit, man.
Honestly, that sounds kind of good. It's
just like Oppenheimer when he's going to be like, what have I wrought?
That's right. And it cuts to the very, very end. It's heavy duty in this scene getting dropped and him at some very advanced age watching on a monitor with a single tear just rolling down his cheek. Like, that's not what I meant the room for.
I have become stunned, destroyer of nervous systems.
Oh, Jesus.
Did we already give our obligatory, like, I liked this episode, I thought this episode was okay, I hated this episode?
We have not.
Is that obligatory?
I think it is at this point.
Usually starts out with one of us being like, I was pleasantly surprised. And then Chan being like, I'm going to disagree with whatever you just said. And then Ray being like, I didn't understand it. And I was like prepared to come into this with Ray so angry tonight because there is so much of his favorite character.
Okay. I have many notes when he starts appearing. We're talking about Tunnel Rat, who is not featured in the first half of this episode, but is featured very much in the second half.
Yeah, once
episode.
He gets in there, he really gets in there. And I have something to say at the end of this about a character that I miss a lot. And I'm going to let you guys think about who it is for the rest of this podcast. And then at the end, I'll explain why.
I miss Cover Girl, too.
I've erased her from my memory.
Okay.
So we have our official Sigma suit activation scene. And what's wild about this one is it's four suits instead of just one, three. It's always three, but this time it's four. It's long range,
shit.
Tunnel Rat, Duke, and Scarlet. So we get the quad screen instead of the three screen.
I will say that, like, Duke, at some point I forgot he was on this mission. Like,
he's not
like
doing his whole own thing the whole time.
Yeah, like he goes away for a really long time at some point, and then like they cut to him, and I was like, wait, where is he? Oh, he's on this mission somewhere? What?
He does the heavy lifting at the end of this mission.
He keeps inviting himself to places.
Yeah, he's like, do you think there's room to pull up another chair? I'm sure if we ask the waiter, he'll do it. And everyone's like, I don't think the table's big enough.
There was a moment when, for a brief second, I thought High Tech was including himself in the mission. And I legit got a little excited to see him get off of the terminal and into a battle. But that ended up being not true at all. It was Long Range instead of him. And Long Range didn't do jack shit in this episode, just for the record. He drove. He was the driver. He was the baby driver. You know, great. And this is when the Tunnel Rat begins.
This is when the ratting begins.
Now, here's the deal. Gina's asking the question, how do I feel? I feel very neutral about this episode. There were some parts of it I kind of liked. Then there was also Tunnel Rat in this episode. And a little bit of, it got a little out of focus towards the end, I think, of this episode, where they're just putting in explosions and stuff that didn't really need to be there.
Oh.
So I put this as a very thumbs neutral episode.
Happened.
I don't know. You two don't have to share your feelings right now, but like that's where this is why I didn't really ask the question earlier, is because I didn't really have a strong opinion about it.
I came in not expecting to like this episode because, like I was saying before we started recording, we've been watching For All Mankind over on Apple.
Sure.
Great show. Was not expecting to like it that much because it's like about like the space race in the 60s and like, you know, sort of like the right stuff kind of things, which I generally have no interest in. But turns out that show's real good. And I'm like, oh God, they're going to do anything with rockets. I'm going to be so mad because they're completely off base and they don't, you know, and it's kind of like spits on the good name of rocket science. But it turns out I still hated it.
Oh, fair enough.
I'm shocked. Yeah, I did not like this. I didn't hate it. It's just every episode of this series feels like a huge nothing burger to me. Like, I'm left with no real memory. There's nothing that differentiates any of these episodes to me. Like, there's not, like with original G.I. Joe, it's like, oh, that was the one where Shipwreck was, like, in an AI-created reality where he watched his fake wife and daughter melt before his eyes. Or, like, oh, that was the one where
No, those things did not happen in G.I. Joe, Gina.
This is the one where, like, Lowlight, like, someone goes into his psyche and, like, cars turn into rats. Oh, this is the one with the Games Master. And, like, if you were to ask me, like, what, name something, name some episode from Sigma Six, like, this is the one that?
I could give you the ninja one. The ninja one.
That's
like,
the one that
trials.
We just watched. That was the most.
I'll be honest, though. That's the one I liked the best, and that's the one that's probably going to stick with me.
Also, like, name a plot point of it. Just, like, just saying it's the ninja one is meaningless.
Oh, now you're losing me. There's yes. Okay, how about the one where the big plot point is Tunnel Rat can't help himself but eat a fly in front of guards when he's supposed to be stealthy?
This is not, again, these are moments from episodes that you remember mostly because they're stupid.
Yes.
But like I can't be like, oh yeah, remember like this was the episode where this was the plot of the entire episode and this creative thing really happened. Like every episode is just a nothing burger. And this was more nothing burger, but with the most annoying character thrown in.
Yeah.
So not a fan.
Again, par for anime to have the most annoying character, eh, Cowboy Bebop? So Tunnel Rat is now front and center, not giving Chan a chance to respond. Tunnel Rat sneaks in through the garbage chute and then lets them in the front door. And they're just like, hey, you smell like shit. And I'm like, ugh. In my mind, I'm just like, lady, you just asked him to crawl through the garbage chute to let you in.
Ugh, I hate him. I
don't even
him.
Like hate him for that. But then, he says, but I dumped on cologne. Surely I'd be okay.
That's even more disgusting to me. Like, if there's two things I hate, it's stinky guys and guys who wear cologne. The third thing is stinky guys who try to cover their stink with cologne. So I'm sure he just smells awful and they're on a mission together. So you can't like get away from him. It's just terrible.
I'm that explains curious. Why we don't record live anymore. In room with each other.
One of several reasons, yes.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Hey, Jormin, Cobra, wake him in Slaughter's Marauder.
Slaughter's Marauders, camouflage, they can't be seen. But you better believe, let me.
There's me, and Spirit, and Footloose, on the attack.
Slaughter's Marauders to the rescue.
Hey, this.
Go, go.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe, Slaughter's Marauders.
Equalizer, Armadillo, and Lynx, figures sold separately.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe. Yo, Joe.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
I'm curious if this will come through because as Duke is talking, Tunnel Rat is chasing Scarlet around, like, and just being the grossest.
Yeah.
But it might be in the background. You might not be able to hear it.
I'm wearing cologne.
I'll sure team up with like Scarlet it? To free Scott and his friends while Tunnel Rat dollars. Heads for the launch area. You have to find a way to put out that rocket.
10-4.
Let's get a move on, Scarlet.
They said this stuff would drive women crazy, but this is ridiculous.
I hated all
the
of
fact that.
That
he's trying to get her to sniff him and that he does
Take
then the
sniff.
Most hacky joke at the end. I want him to be squished like a bug.
I want him to get eaten by a bug just for retribution's sake.
Mm.
Like a big old Starship Troopers bug just shows up and bites his head off. Yeah, I hated everything about that scene. Just very upsetting. The interplay between Scarlet and Tunnel Rat is supposed to be very fun, where she's an uptight woman and he's a gross dude. Just having fun.
Also, I think he might be... I think there might be something wrong with this guy.
Oh, you
like,
think?
Like, I think maybe part of his brain is Count Chocula cereal. because, like, before I was just like, oh, he's just clueless. But this is the episode where I was like, oh, he's, like, developmentally. Like, they recruited a guy who, like, should not be allowed to consent to sign up for the military.
Yeah. And his job on the team, heavy explosives. Make that make sense to me.
I mean, this was like they had a recruiting booth and like this guy was just walking by and someone was like, hey, you ever thought about signing up for the military? And he was like, what's the military? And they were like, you'll do great. do you like food? And he was like, yeah. And it's like, sign your name here. And then he was like, what if I can't sign my name? And then they were like, it's fine. Just tell me your name and I'll sign it. And then all of a sudden he was in the military.
He should definitely be in a conservatorship. He is the Britney Spears of this G.I. Joe unit.
I mean, 100%. You know, the thing, okay, here's the deal. So, original Tunnel Rat, right? Tunnel Rat, there was a figure. I actually own the figure. It's a really cool figure. He, in the G.I. Joe movie, he gets introduced as one of the recruits, you know, the team with Law and Order, Chuckles, Big Lob, and Jinx, and of course, Falcon. And so he's introduced. I thought, honestly, he was a cool Latino guy from Los Angeles. He's a cool Latino guy from Brooklyn, New York. Except for the fact that he's actually very multicultured, according to his file card, which I just brought up. Tunnel Rat's family tree is Trinidadian Chinese with branches of Irish, Spanish, and Indian thrown in. He grew up on the mean streets of Brooklyn, got tough on the Ranger course at Fort Benning, and honed his skills in Granada. He's an explosives expert, and he's a genuinely fun and cool character in G.I. Joe the movie, where, you know, Big Lob is doing the obstacle course and he just finds a pipe and crawls through and then like takes out all the turrets from behind with some like cool stuff. And like, I genuinely loved that character despite him only having a short period of time on screen. To see what they've done, how they've massacred my boy in this series is so beyond upsetting. Beyond upsetting. So yeah, and I wrote here like, okay, so before the next part, Duke has an entire hallway full of robots. And I don't, what are these robots doing? They're not guarding. They're just there waiting to be shot.
I think that they're there like for whatever is needed. If they need to go, they're like the PAs of this mission. They're like, if they need to go get a coffee, they go get a coffee. If they need to like go, if like the sound guy is like missing, it's like, go find us the sound guy. So they're just there to be runners for whatever's needed.
I would watch a show that was just bats as PAs.
It'd be kind of good. It'd be kind of good. And they're always using the wrong hand attachment for the job.
Yep.
It's the clamp. Yeah, because there's like 10 of these bats or whatever robots. And there's like four zigzagging hallways. And all the bats are only in the last of the four zigzagging hallways, guarding it by just standing in a straight line on either side. So Duke, and I don't know how any of this works, Duke has a Sigma shooty gun, and he like looks through his thing and then makes it like go through the hallway zigzag and then take out both lines at the same time of robots with like two shots, one for each line. And I don't know what's happening in this scene. You could have cut this easily and I would have been very happy.
This is actually the only part of the episode that I liked.
God dang it.
Like for reals, like it was just like one of those like things that a 12-year-old boy would think was cool. Like, oh shit, they got the lasers like turn corners and stuff. And that's what it felt like. It felt like just like dropping in a cool toy. So, you know, is it dumb? Yeah, kind of, but it's also cool and I'll take it.
So they sent they sent Tunnel Rat up into the air ducts like you do.
And he's also an idiot. He like immediately screws up the mission.
Yeah,
always does. At this point, he's more of a liability than he is an asset. And I hate, like in OG G.I. Joe, there were like some buffoons, but they were always good at their job. And I hate that this dude is not good at his job. Like, I don't want to watch. I hate like kids shows where it's like, look at this idiot. He's bad at his job. Like, you can make him a buffoon that's still good at his job. But like immediately he like gets them tapped.
Let me ask this question then. In the original Sunbow era, who do you think was like 1, 2, 3? Who were the least competent Joes? Because they were all generally competent. Which ones do you think were like the most incompetent?
I think they were all competent. I would say like Shipwreck was like a little bit of a buffoon because like he was shown like not realizing that women didn't want him to like hit on them and things like that. But he was always like could handle himself in a fight and all that other stuff. There was no one who was just like straight up bad at the thing that they were supposed to be doing.
I got one. Chan, do you have any answer to this? Because I have one that I think fits the bill a little.
Who are you talking about?
I think Bazooka. Bazooka with Alpine. Because there's even in the intro, there's the shot of him trying to shoot the bazooka, but sneezing in the rain and tripping and falling and shooting the bazooka when he hits the ground.
What?
Like, do you not? It must be too long for you, but like Bazooka was a little dumb, a little dim. And but even then,
wait, is Bazooka the guy that rhymes?
No, that's Roadblock. What is happening right
now?
Bazooka and Alpine were the duo that always worked together.
Yeah,
and Bazooka had the football jersey on with the bazooka.
Oh, okay.
Bazooka, I think, sort of falls into the category of shipwreck, where he's a little dim, but like he stumbles into the correct thing more often than not. Which is sort of like what Tunnel Rat does, but Tunnel Rat just like skews the numbers where, you know, Bazooka's like kind of like, well, he's pretty close, but in the end, he does more good than harm.
Yeah, there are a couple of times I remember Bazooka like hurting his leg or something, and they need to kind of help him out, or he gets knocked unconscious. Like, he's the one who always took the hits. I remember in the Games Master episode, right? Didn't he take a hit in the Games Master episode? He got hit by a laser and knocked out at some point and had to be saved. But he doesn't like actively shit can a mission.
To me, like the difference is that Tunnel Rat gets other people in trouble, like his incompetence, and it's usually like Scarlet. So I have an issue with like incompetent dude gets to keep his job even after he, you know, endangers woman, the only woman on the team's life multiple times. Cause this isn't the first time we've seen this happen with him and with Scarlet. And truly, like, if this was my job and if I was her, I would be like, hey, I'm not working with this guy anymore. You like, do not send me on a mission with him. If you do, I will sue you.
Yeah, because I still will never forget a couple episodes ago when he just like ran into a closet and Scarlet looks and he's like tied up with cables in the fucking ceiling, like 5 feet above the air. And I'm like, you can't do that without trying to do that. Like, how brutally incompetent is this guy? It is upsetting. And the worst part is at the end of it all, he's the one who would like punch Scarlet lightly on the shoulder and go, see, we make a great team. And that's the infuriating part.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate that, like, she's being forced to work with a stinky buffoon who brings nothing to any mission. And at this point, it feels personal. It feels like the rest of the Joes all hate this dude, but they're like, you know what? We're going to teach that woman for coming in and ruining our good time. Now we can't tell jokes at work with the word cunt in it anymore. So we're going to teach her by sending her on missions with this stinky idiot. And maybe, you know what? Maybe she'll get herself killed and then we'll laugh about it.
I, for one, am really glad that we record separately because I feel like if we did record together, we would not make it past this episode. Gina would have a revelation. She'd be like, oh my God, this is about me.
That's a very fair point. No, Tunnel Rat in the air ducts, of course, sees a delicious cockroach and can't help himself, but not only eat it, but eat it to the point where one of the antenna is still sticking out of his mouth. And I want to punch my TV screen. So I
this isn't
here.
Snack time, Tunnel Rat.
Crunch it outside.
I think I'll take a shortcut.
It's just, there's no call for this. Like,
none.
Bugs don't, like, if you were desperate, you would eat a bug, right? There are plenty of tales of soldiers being in a bad place, in a bad situation, and being forced to eat bugs to survive. And I hate that idea, but I respect you if you have to do that to survive, because living is important. Tunnel Rat will put the mission in jeopardy so he can eat a bug. Bugs don't taste that good. What is happening? This is why I don't watch anime.
I mean, are you saying that every anime has a moment where a character eats a bug for no reason?
More than you'd like to admit.
This doesn't feel like something that is absolutely endemic to anime. This feels like, I don't know, maybe like a really racist animator was like, you know what all anime's got?
that one nude that just always likes to eat a bug. You know how those Japanese people do. And everyone's like, no, dude, what are you talking about? It's like, no, it's like every time you go to a sushi place, they're always trying to feed you bugs. Dude, I don't think that's a sushi place that you're going to. Like, I'm the EP. You fucking put it in there.
Man. Yeah, and so my note here is just Tunnel Rat. Still gross and still sucks. He's awful. And so Tunnel Rat doesn't like the fact that Hi-Tech is trying to guide him. So he just turns off his comms. Like a certain character in For All Mankind in a later season. Dun, dun, nope. Dun. Nope.
Don't want to hear it. Don't you spoil nothing.
No, that's all I'm saying. That's all you're going to get.
You're the worst.
It meant nothing.
Are you saying this is a good plot point then? That like that's what people actually do in the real-ish world?
They do if things are about to go really poorly. And that won't spoil anything because you'll forget because it's going to be a while.
Things are always going poorly in that show.
That is correct. It's a great show. Okay. So they find Heavy Duty. Finally, Tunnel Rat finds Heavy Duty going through the air ducts. He's been chained under a rocket, under the rocket that's about to take off into space to get the stone. I'm fine with that. This is sort of what I expected them to do. A little tie the lady to the train tracks from Zartan. I'm fine with this. This is exactly what I would do if I was writing this. I liked that.
I thought you were going to say that is exactly what I would do if I were trying to steal a rocket.
Oh, yes, I would do that too. Tunnel Rat starts going too fast down the tunnel. Is he like skateboarding down the tunnel? Like, what is happening? He ends up flying into a bot chamber where there's like two dozen bats. He flies into like the center of the room, destroying his traveling device and almost knocking himself unconscious. Meanwhile, the bats are just staring at him like, no, shoot him. You're robots. There's nothing to consider. You have mission orders. You would just shoot him like Merlin would shoot Gina right now for not feeding him.
Yeah, yeah.
He has food. He just wants to be watching TV. I told you.
Oh, my gracious. And then
he wants to see what happens on the next episode of Beverly Hills Honor 210.
Well, who could blame him? Scarlet and Duke are about to charge the control room together. Great. At this point, we cut back to Tunnel Rat again because 3 seconds without him is too much. Am I right? Got to get back to him. I did appreciate that Zartan was able to sneak up on Tunnel Rat and just knock the bejesus out of him. That made me very happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tunnel Rat's about to drop a bunch of these like landmines to try to like blow out the chains, I guess, to get Heavy Duty off this launch pad. But he ends up getting Tunnel Rat ends up getting rocked by Zartan. Like people get hit real hard in this episode. The robot dog. I like it when Tunnel Rat gets hit real hard. I'm not going to lie. Anyway, it turns out this isn't like a launch pad, but like a grate over a big thing of like water. And I did not get what's happening here at all. It turns out he armed the bombs beforehand. So the bombs all blow up, shooting the water up in the air and freeing Heavy Duty and getting Tunnel Rat back up to the surface area again. I'm like, okay. Duke ends up going into the control room and just starts crushing everybody. I did enjoy that. I like it. Well, you know what? I've not been the biggest Duke fan, but in this series, I kind of at least appreciate him. And maybe it's just because he's not Tunnel Rat.
I mean, it's such a low bar, but like this.
Don't worry. It's on stun mode.
I don't know. It seems like a real dick move to me. And also, like, since when have they got fucking stun lasers?
Well, he was going to go in and just start shooting every MF-er in the entire room. And you got to make a point of saying it's stun mode or he is murdering people.
You know what? If that's if he was actually cold-blooded like that and they were just like fucking bullets and he's like, don't worry, this is stun mode. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, my God. Like,
oh, you know what? Okay.
That would have
He's crazy and I'm kind of into it.
At which point now a Duke's big thing is that he's going to be fighting that giant robot with the treads that blasted the dog in the opening scene. So yeah. That thing that I just call it not Overlord Vector is now attacking Duke. And we cut back, go back to Heavy Duty. And Heavy Duty ends up, fighting Zartan. And then somebody gets, Tunnel Rat gets grabbed a second time by Zartan. Right. If I remember this correctly. and he's going to choke him out, or he's going to cut him, or I mean, something that's going to make my Christmas so much happier. And then Heavy Duty, we now find out he's been freed. And so he absolutely blasts Zartan and sends him, like, knocks him out with like one from behind sucker punch. And I'm like, all right, that was kind of cool.
I like, yes, this is over the top and wild, but like the notion that Tunnel Rat had a bunch of mines, they all fell down through this grate and he fell down a long distance into some water, and then they all exploded and the water was enough to break the chains and push Tunnel Rat up through the grate and somehow survive, and not knock over the rocket that is just a few feet above them. Like, so little of that made sense to me.
A lot of these scenes really didn't pass the smell test for me. We cut back to not over.
Well, maybe
Vector.
If you sniff it again, why don't you sniff it again? Sniff it. Sniff
no.
me.
I don't want to sniff because Tunnel Rat's in there. I don't want that cologne. Overlord Vector is fighting Duke some more, and we get more explosions. At which point we cut back to Zartan recovering, and Scott is trying to rescue the students from the control room. And Scarlet's with him, kind of taking him to the rendezvous point, the exfiltration point, I don't know. And insanely, Scarlet, who's there already and an adult, allegedly, and member of G.I. Joe, turns to high school age Scott and says, okay, Scott, you're in charge of all these people now on this new military operation. I'm like, what are you talking about, Scarlet? Just lead them out. What are you doing?
No, to be fair, though, like his first like mission, which was like the first six episodes of this fucking show, of this series, he was doing way more complicated stuff than that. Like they
but
were
he
like,
shouldn't have been.
Oh, you like he's the one who created this robot dog by giving it that go-go juice or whatever he poured down its throat and then made it live.
That was wild.
So
you
it's
are
not
correct.
Crazy to me that she's like, all right, I mean, you're like the only other, like he's definitely more qualified than fucking Tunnel Rat.
What makes him more qualified than the other students? Is it because he's a white dude, Gina? Thank you.
I mean, obviously.
You know, this is just like, well, your dad is a G.I. Joe member. That makes you qualified to lead this mission. Much like those firms in Ukraine were like, your dad is the current sitting vice president. You deserve to be in charge of this multi-billion dollar company in another country. Now hand me that gun, Hunter Biden. And those illicit drugs.
None of this is going to make sense in 10 years when people are listening to this podcast.
Are you kidding me? Hunter Biden's going to be president in 10 years. What are you talking about right now? You don't think we can't get that man elected? After what we've seen so far? We just had another congresswoman get kicked out of Beetlejuice the musical because she was giving a guy a hand job.
Yo, that was crazy. I mean, like, he was really honking those boobs, too. Like, he was fucking going to town on
Wait
those titties.
Is there video?
Yes.
Yes, Chan.
Oh, my
and
God.
And she is jerking him off while he squeezes her titties, and then she vapes. And then she told everyone, like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't vaping. It was a smoke machine. And then the video came out, and she was like, I deeply regret my actions. Oh, yeah, go look. And he is just casually squeezing them like he is trying to pick the perfect melon as if his life depended on it.
I really thought that he had a thing of turtle wax with him and he was helping her get buffed.
I mean, I watched it like five times because I was like, is this a deep fake? How can this possibly be real?
How can this
they are in public and she is always the one who's talking about children and groomers. And then I realized, oh, right.
And also, I mean, and not to be glazed over, during Beetlejuice the musical. Look, and now for people listening to this episode 10 years in the future, first off, hello. I hope President Hunter Biden is doing a great job. That's a story you probably don't remember and need to look up. So anyway.
I mean, things could go awry and she could be the president in 10 years.
Oh. No, but here's the problem. If that particular person is president in 10 years, I guarantee there's no free speech left for anyone to be listening to this episode.
Got to scrubbed. Be fair, a podcast about G.I. Joe seems like the only thing they would let people listen to.
Only if they didn't listen to it. Chan, I think I just want to give you the floor to talk about this whole turn on button sequence.
I feel like
you might have some strong opinions here.
You know what? I have no opinion about it. I will cede the floor to Gina, who was the one that specifically asked to have this pulled.
I can't. I think my brain might explode.
I honestly can't tell if Ray's doing a bit or not.
You guys, I don't remember who says what anymore.
Did Ray just go to honk off? Is that what he was doing?
Wait, like,
all
really?
This talk of hand jobs. I gotta go. Gina, go, or who cares? Just talk about the thing that you wanted to talk about.
Look, I found a dead roach on the floor and I was trying to brush it away from my recording area.
Were you trying to eat it?
No! Oh my god!
On the outside?
I'm trying to keep Tunnel Rat the fuck out of here. I gotta clean the area.
Here's one that says O-N.
That spells on! That's it!
Well, what are you waiting for, man?
Yes, Tunnel Rat couldn't find the on button that was marked literally on.
No, it's not that he couldn't find it. He doesn't know how to read. You get that, right, Ray?
That is wild. The character is intended to be the character, the insert character for children. So he's supposed to be a little bit goofy and doofy and screw things up. But honestly, he's not even like making a joke like, oh, hey, maybe it's the one that says, oh, and what's that spell? He's just like, I don't understand how to read two letter words. It's just, it's real gross.
You guys, I did totally get it. I promise.
It's a very weird, like, clearly they were trying to play it for laughs, but it opens up a very large can of worms. Again, I think that this man could not properly read his military contract when he signed it, is what I'm going to say.
Look, and so he's like, okay, plug it in. So they're trying to plug in this device and turn on the machine so that Hi-Tech can hack it. And Hi-Tech gets about, you know, halfway through the 45 seconds that are left. And he's like, okay, got it. I'm in. I got this thing. And he's like, oops, no, I don't. Which leaves about 20 seconds to go. And he's like, Hi-Tech's like, y'all got to figure something out. I thought I had this. I do not have this. Which I thought was like, that's fun. That's legit. I like the idea that Hi-Tech is not a deus ex machina. And he fails sometimes. That made me happy. And then Heavy Duty puts both arms in, just punches into the control panel. And then rips it out of the wall. And that works. It stops the countdown at 2 seconds to go.
Yeah, this dude has killed a man before.
I don't think that should have worked. Call me crazy.
This is a convention that I do not care for. I hate it when it happens. But it's sort of tied to the thing where all you have to do is knock out the main alien ship and the entire rest of the army will go down in the same way that, like,
are you shitting on Independence Day, my man?
If you blow up the lead tank in a tank brigade, all the other tanks stop working. You can't just rip up the control panel and stop a rocket from going off. And yes, I fucking hate Independence Day.
First off, how dare you? That movie's great. Second off, are you guys familiar with the NCIS hacking clip? You must be, right? Where the two people share a keyboard to prevent the hacking. I've just put it in our chat. And if you're not familiar with this clip, it's one of my favorite things on the entire internet. And it's a scene from the famed serialized drama NCIS, National Crime Institute of
Sexy
Scientology.
But International Crime Institute of Sexy.
And all I could think about in this scene, like even as I'm watching it, all I could think about was this particular scene, which if you have not seen it before, please watch it right now. You at home, stop the recording. Watch this 50-second long clip
In fact, I'm going to...
I'm too busy watching Lauren Boebert's hand job. Calm down.
Did you find it? Did you find it?
It's not hard to find.
Although she did find it hard. Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
She released an apology saying she did it because divorce is hard. And like, you should pity her.
Yeah, man. That's legit.
Unfortunately, this NBC website doesn't have the good stuff.
You got to go to Twitter for that shit.
No, you got to go to Twitter. Yeah. I don't know what you're doing. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Chan. You got to use your AE double back account to start searching up hand jobs.
Oh, you mean X?
I mean, she's trending, so you'll just find her there.
I don't, and 69% of all its users don't either, Chan.
You just made up that number.
No, that's sadly, that is the real number of people who still call it Twitter in the United States.
I think that's probably just the percentage that people up on Twitter made up.
I think that's pretty much, yeah. Like, hey, could what be. Percentage of people do you think? 69? I didn't even finish the quiz. 69?
420. What are you? Can it be 420?
No, that's not a percentage. That's yeah.
So this clip, I've just put it on the official Knowing Is Half the Podcast Twitter account at G.I. Joe Podcast.
Oh, cool. So when this comes out 2 weeks from now, definitely.
Whose fault is that? This is coming out soon enough.
I am throwing you under the bus for this
one.
Yeah,
you are. I might have to pin it just because you said that. But the NCIS is being hacked, and the lady computer expert is having trouble keeping up typing fast enough to keep the hackers out, because that's how it works. So a second guy comes over, takes the other half of the keyboard, and they're typing in tandem together twice as fast now to keep the hackers out. And it's just not working. They're just not fast enough, even with both of their typing skills combined. And the third character pulls the plug from the panel, thus ending the threat.
From the monitor?
Yeah. From the literally the plug from the wall. And he holds it up like, aha, you just had to do this, idiots. And it's one of the craziest scenes you will ever see in your life. And it's all I could think about during this scene. Well, they're trying to hack it. It doesn't work. So Heavy Duty just rips the panel out of the wall. And I'm just like, it's NCIS, dude. It's just NCIS. It's all this.
Let it go, Jake. It's NCIS.
Yeah, for real. But anyway, check out that clip. It's delightful. And it's all I think about that clip a lot more than I should. It's basically what it's, you know, they talk about men thinking about the Roman Empire more often than you think they would. That's me in that clip from NCIS.
I feel like Chan's missing a lot by not being on Twitter, because that was a whole Twitter conversation.
The whole thing.
But I don't know. Maybe he knows about the Roman Empire.
I've heard of it.
Okay.
There's been a thing going around that says like that's basically like a woman read an article about how often men think about the Roman Empire. And she found like it's very often. And she said this statistic to her boyfriend of like, did you know that like guys think about the Roman Empire like constantly? And he was like, oh yeah, of course we do. And then it was like making its way around Twitter, and guys were weighing in and being like, yeah, I think about it a lot.
It's pervasive. It's in our culture a lot, you know.
Is it though?
I think it is more. Anytime you think about Roman numerals, so anytime
I think about
a
TV
Super
show
Bowl,
Rome a lot, and how it didn't run for as many seasons as it should have, and how it's a superior series to Game of Thrones.
Whoa, okay, bold, but I'll take it.
You know what? That's I'm not going to disagree with that. There's a solid point in there somewhere.
Yeah,
think about it. Like anytime you think about Colosseums or gladiators or Roman numerals, so anytime I think about the Super Bowl, I think about ancient Rome. Emperors.
You are listing off things that I do not think about at all, ever.
Oh, yeah?
Well,
try this one, Chan.
People like you are not on Twitter anymore, Chan.
Yeah, thank you.
That's why it's heavily skewing.
Well, there you go. People, the confluence of people who both think about Rome a lot and are on Twitter, which also is burning down while Nero fiddles. Makes a lot of sense.
I think about the Jim Rome sports show a lot. You know, I'm just saying, like, it comes up is all. Anyway, final battle going on here. Let's bring this home. Not Overlord Vector is fighting Duke, and it puts its gun point blank to Duke's face and pulls the trigger, and somehow Duke blocks it.
No, he has time to have a witty retort, which is like, yeah, I can do the same thing too, pal, and then jams a gun into the other thing and shoots.
No, but then like in a yeah, and he gets like lasered back, but I think it's implied that his suit, because they show that like, oh, his suit's armor is depleted after that.
Yeah, and then for some reason High Tech is like, oh, well, let me boost that up to the highest. Like, why didn't you do it in the first place? B, why do you have that control? Why couldn't Duke have that control?
Yeah.
What is happening to any of this?
And I just pulled it up again. He just puts his hand up, like, on his forehead, like, revealing most of his face, just puts his hand up, and that just, like, blocks the blast. And I did not care for that.
To be fair, we don't know what he was being shot with, so he might get cancer in 2 years.
Okay.
Ooh. I'll take it. Cancer.
Yeah, it's crazy. Then he puts his pistol in the barrel of the same gun and then pulls the trigger and blows out Not Overlord Vector, which is crazy. Duke wins. I'm like, okay, he wins. Except no, he doesn't. Because then a huge blast comes as the rest of the Joe team is inside the vehicle. What is it? The Rhino? I forget what this thing's called. They're trying to find him. They're driving around. And then a huge explosion out of the wall happens. And him and Not Overlord Vector fly out of it. And then they barrel into him. And they like run him over and shoot a bunch of missiles at him at the same time. And it is overkill of the century. It is. They take him the F out. And then we cut back to, and if I could just get a little bit of background sound, there was a lot of good peas and carrots in this scene. What do you guys call this? The Walla Walla, the background noise. When they cut back to where all the students are.
Oh, there's plenty of it. Cause like at the beginning, I specifically marked off a point where someone's like going like, yeah, I wish I could shoot my little brother into space.
I picked that up too. Yeah.
There was another one where like, at least we're not in algebra, and they're all real terrible, but,
so
also is the girl supposed to be the girlfriend of Scott or whatever his name is? Cause she's like, is this why you never tell me anything?
Yeah. That was so weird.
I really don't like it. It's like assuming that she's like a shrew already. Like even young girls are shrews on this show. Like,
yeah.
Cause the one kid is like, maybe Scott's his buddy is like convinced that Zartan was an alien. He's like, but here's the thing. Only aliens can see other aliens, can see through their disguise. And then he's like, wait a minute, Scott saw through the disguise. That must mean Scott's an alien. And rather than like laughing it off, Scott's maybe girlfriend is like, is this why you never talk to me anymore? And it's weird.
In anime, you get two types of girlfriends, super horny or battle axe. Is that an unfair statement in anime? Not in real life. Not trying to say that. In anime productions, that tends to be the two angles they take. And real quick, I freeze framed this so I could like find a time code for the peas and carrots. And it's a shot. It's a wide shot of like the students. There's an ambulance, and there are three full body bags on the ground. We had casualties in this episode.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You see him?
Yeah. That's not great.
Everybody's safe now. Looks like we got it done.
We got lucky.
Did we hear it?
We got lucky. Those three suckers didn't, though.
Maybe they were cobras.
I mean, maybe they were cobras.
Maybe they were just robots that they were taking to be researched, reverse engineered.
Let's not make that assumption. We had fatalities this time. I really didn't think we were going to get fatalities, but here we are. And then Scott's an alien, and so his girlfriend and friends literally chase him down the street as the sun is setting, and we end the episode right there.
They watch some meteors, and then that's the only other 4-second reference we get to space.
Oh, yeah, excuse me, you're right. There is a tiny little thing at the end where they watch the Sigma Stone asteroid burn up in the Earth's atmosphere.
Considering how the Sigma Stones have acted in the past, when for example, shot or heated up.
It's a great question.
I would not think it'd be a good idea to just let them burn up in the atmosphere. They'd blow a goddamn hole in the earth.
Also, isn't there a very, very legitimate chance that it would land on Earth and the Sigma Stone would still be have some power?
Yep.
I mean, that's probably legit. Anyway, that's the end of the episode, ladies and gentlemen. That is episode 11 of 13 of G.I. Joe Sigma 6 Season 1, Space, the Final Frontier.
How many more Nothing Burger episodes do we have to watch of this show?
Well, we have a two-parter, so...
And that's it? Then we're done?
No, then
and
we have 13
then
more
we
episodes.
We have another season's worth. Yeah,
we have season two.
Okay, so, oh, I promised that I was going to say which character I miss, which character of OG G.I. Joe this makes me miss the most. And it's not the character you might think. It is actually Lowlight because I think that one of the reasons that this is inferior to original G.I. Joe is because every character is like the same level. They're all wacky. They're all like, it's like so kiddie. It's so light. It's, there's like nothing really has any stakes. It's just like, oh my God, we're all doing this thing and it's crazy. And I just really want a character who's there that's just like, I mean, he's probably going to die in that sewer. We just sent a man to his death. And then everyone's like, oh, okay. Okay, Lowlight, calm down. And he's like, you don't know what's in my head, man. And then, like, I could handle everyone else being this crazy, kooky, wacky, like, haha, no stakes. If there's just one dude that every once in a while is like Phoebe Cates and Gremlins.
Like her dad died in a chimney?
Yeah, like every once in a while, there's one character that you think like everything is going fine and then tells you a long monologue about how her dad died in a chimney. That's Lowlight.
I mean, okay. Yes, I will say right now, Gremlins, one of the most depressing movies because of that character, because of that fact. I saw that the first time and I'm like, I'm really enjoying this mischievous, violent Muppets killing a suburban town. And then when she drops that story,
it's hilarious.
About her dad,
what are you talking about?
So upsetting.
What are you talking about? Did you watch this for the first time when you were 45? What are you talking about?
I watched this for the first time when I was like 10 or whatever. And I'll tell you right now, it upset me that they went with that as a plot point.
Ugh,
and I have not gone
worst.
Back to watch the first. I watched the second Gremlins all day.
But they have a send up of that in the second Gremlins where she starts to tell a terrible story and he's just like, ugh.
Yeah, that's what I want. I don't need a very depressing holiday-themed Santa, my dad is dead story. Like, that was, honestly, that shook me when I was a kid.
It's hilarious.
And I did not like it. I did not find it funny. I found it upsetting.
Have you not watched Gremlins since you were 10?
I have not watched it in a very long time.
That's insane.
Because that scene upsets me.
That's,
and it's going to upset me when I see it again.
You are what the right thinks we are. You are a pussy snowflake who can't watch a children's movie because of a 40-second scene.
I'm telling you right now, that scene upset me when I was a kid. Just like I will not go back to Return to Oz because those wheelies are too upsettingly scary. Not going to tell me I'm wrong there. Yeah, that movie, those are the two. That one really got me too. But like, those are just not properties I will go back to, but I will go back to see Gremlins 2. Gremlins 2 is delightful. And that Key and Peele sketch about creating Gremlins 2 is also wild. Very fun. If you know the sketch I'm talking about.
Yeah, everyone knows the sketch. It's old news. Go
How
back and watch
you?
Number
there
one.
There are Zoomers listening to this right now that have no idea what I'm talking about. Go seek it out. Seek out the congressional lady in the Beetlejuice theater clip. Seek out the NCIS hacking clip. And seek out the Key and Peele sketch about writing Gremlins 2. That's your homework. We are here to grow you as a person.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what we're here to do. Anyway, that's our episode. Space... Sigma 6. You can, of course, find us patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast, facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast, or on the Twitters at G.I. Joe Podcast. You can, of course, find me on Threads at AlmightyRay316.
Yep.
At what now? I think you just made that Twitter handle up.
Threads. Threads is the thing that's actually going to replace
Twitter. You got
a shitty
Threads handle.
Well, Almighty Ray was somehow taken. So I did Almighty Ray 316.
Who has Almighty Ray?
Yeah, who does have Almighty Ray?
To be fair, though, there are streamers, very low level, like 7 people watching their channel streamers, named Almighty Ray. And there's also been a couple of death metal bands named Almighty Ray. And I have not tried to reach out to these people, but there are other on Xbox for the longest time. I was getting private messages asking if I was ready to go do this like Call of Duty run or Halo run. And it was always like I would get like 5 messages in like an hour being like, come on, man, where are you? Let's go. And I have no idea who these people are because this is a somewhat shockingly popular handle for a variety of mediums. And because I am an old, I got in first at most of the OG social media sites with Almighty Ray. One guy, in fact, had a Twitter handle, Almighty Ray, but the L was a capital I, so it looked like an L. And that freaked me out because I couldn't figure out why he had the same handle I did.
Dear
for the longest
God.
Time. So anyway, Almighty Ray 316 is pretty much what I end up on all the new media because the kids get in faster than me.
That is possibly the saddest thing I've ever heard. Maybe third. Maybe third.
Doesn't make me feel good. Don't take a man, heavy duty on the scene. Snake eyes, hand to hand. Long range, lean and mean. Scarlet, ready to fight. Turn on red ignite.
Wherever Cobra strikes, wherever they attack, G.I. Joe will fight. There's no turning back.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. Or, I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it, and we do it all over breakfast, or should I say Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.